We are live. So today's show, basically what? It's you're sick and should you work out while you're sick? What a great topic. Before we dive in, I'm going to do what I always forget to do and say at the top of the show. First of all, thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Check out variednotrandom.com. We offer all kinds of cool cycles, help support the show, get yourself your first pull up, first strict muscle up, get better at handstand walking. There's some barbell stuff in there. There's a cool 1.5 mile run program we do with Henshaw. So check that out. And the other part is, if you own a gym, any sort of gym on the face of the earth, you've got to track the workouts of your members. You got to take care of billing and you need gym management. And you used to have to do that on a bunch of different platforms. And now BTWB has got an all-in-one for all those things. So go to btwb.com/all-in-one and check that out if you're a gym owner. Okay. So this question, well, first of all, how are you, my friend? Did I ask you that?
Man, I'm really good. I picked up a new hobby recently and my head is in the trees,
oh, that's
so to speak,
right,
Pat. So I'm just it's having a
niche,
blast.
It's a niche hobby. What's even the terminology for it? How would you describe
chainsaw
a
milling
hobby?
So literally milling wood with a chainsaw. It is so fun. I can't get enough. It's been good, man. I've been kind of reappropriating my free time when I have it to try to get out into the woods and be out there with my thoughts and my chainsaw. So it's been a blast. I'm very, very happy about how it's all going. So I'm doing great.
I've never done any milling. I've never done any milling with a chainsaw, and I don't really have I don't have like Curtis Bowler chainsaw skills. You know, a few people do.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, chainsaws are just fun. There's something about kicking that thing over and just,
oh yeah.
And we live on a little bit of property. So Emily got me one maybe 2 years ago for Christmas. What a great Christmas gift, a chainsaw.
Agreed.
And I thought I was using it properly. Everything was going well. We had some trees down. It worked great for several days or several weeks. And then, you know, there's like that one nut that the bar attaches to the actual chainsaw with. Obviously, it came loose and I didn't check it or tighten it. And I'm just missed full bore. And there's like an explosion of parts and material that happens. I had a face shield on the whole nine yards, but
good thing.
My chainsaw has not seen the light of day ever since that sad day a couple of years ago. So maybe I can repair it.
I'm glad your face survived that. Sometimes a chain gets thrown like that. That can be really bad. So
yeah.
Glad it wasn't a big deal.
A face made for radio. Okay, here
parts can be replaced.
Yeah. Here's the question that came in. This was posted under a relatively recent, very not random, within the last month. Hi, Pat and Adrian. I've been in the shadows, long-term listener for over a year and have a question that has been bugging me for months and I would love to hear your perspective on it. This is from JBWRJBuri19. I've been doing CrossFit for nearly 12 years and I almost never used to get sick. Now I have a 2-year-old who started kindergarten 6 months ago, and the whole family has been sick off and on ever since. I know that you have a young kid too, Pat. They get sick a lot, interacting with other kids their age. The question is simply how to navigate this and keep on training. I don't like going to the gym feeling sick or risking spreading it or making it worse. My fitness has taken a huge dive as a result. And if you have any tips about training while not feeling 100%, I'd love to hear it. Love the show. Have never missed an episode since I found it. That's cool.
Oh, wow.
You know, so really cool. We'll try to help this individual out. And, you know, while you may not have kids, I mean, you're also, for a long time of your life, I mean, planes, taxis, you know, crowded spaces, subways in the city. I mean, you know, being on an airplane twice a week, 50 weeks a year, it's a great way to pick something up as well. So working out while being sick, and we should preface this with, if this person asked us this question, they must know that we are not medical professionals. So you are going to hear two regular
preface.
Joes give their non-medical professional opinion on this topic. So back over to you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something that everybody's going to come toe-to-toe with, given enough time in the saddle training. I think everybody, you know, has these best laid plans and they plan out their week, they plan out their month, they like their training cycles to be a certain way, but nature has other plans at times. It's just the way it goes. So how do you strategize that? I think is something that, regardless of your family situation, you know, little kids or not, like you will come into contact with this, given enough time. And I do think it's good to kind of have some guidelines before you do encounter that, because much like I actually listened to a snippet of our nutrition conversation the other day. It's rare that I go back and listen. I don't like to.
I don't like to listen to myself.
But
yeah.
But you know, one of the things that we were talking about a lot during that episode was just having a plan so that when things do go off kilter, you're not taken by surprise and therefore prone to making worse decisions than you might otherwise. So yeah, a couple of guide rails. I just can't help but think that there's a widespread there as well, as far as illness. I mean, I've been sick in the past couple of months where I was put down, and we're talking in bed, fever, not getting up to do anything. And in that case, it's pretty obvious what the choice is, because there really isn't one. It's, hey, I need to rest and recover. My body isn't really allowing much beyond that. And so, number one, if you find yourself in a situation like that, I mean, yeah, take the obvious road. But it sounds like that's not what we're talking about here. It's a scenario where, you know, maybe you've got a little congestion, or you've got like a nagging cough or something that's not so serious that the path forward is clear. So maybe that's the first thing to establish. It's like, how sick are you really? Because there's a limit when where you don't really want to be doing much other than giving yourself the opportunity to just get better.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but over this last, you know, we're in spring now, but over this last winter, you were sick at least once that it had some legs. Like, it lasted a while, right?
Yeah, it was really strange. I had pneumonia back around Thanksgiving, or at least what developed into a little bit of pneumonia. So yeah, it was unpleasant, man. I was dealing with like a real bad cough for about 6 weeks straight. And I think you had a similar kind of run around Christmas time. You were...
Man, I've been sick. I'm historically not sick that much, but yeah, our girl who will be 3 years old in June, you know, she's her daycare. You know, there's a joke about daycare that you pay some organization thousands of dollars. They get your kids sick and they just, they spend half the month home anyway, sick. So man, we got two older boys that are all in sports and school. So, the Sherwood household's been hit hard this winter. I mean, way more than normal, varying degrees of severity, but it seemed like I always kind of had a little something going on. Mm. And similar to you, there was a couple that just lasted and lasted. And spoiler alert, maybe that was my fault because I kept working out. I personally have to be pretty much on death's doorstep not to work out. I would say that's not an exaggeration. That's it in a nutshell. I would say I'm not working out if I'm like vomiting. If I'm like so nauseous that I'm vomiting, okay, I'm not going to work in the gym. If it's like anything else, I think I have strep throat. I think I have a horrible cough. I can't breathe. My head feels like it's 10 feet tall. Like whatever it is, I'm in the gym. And now that doesn't mean I'm going to try to PR Fran. You know, I'm going to probably scale, modify, reduce loading, reduce intensity, move casually. Like there'll be some sort of concessions made, but it's not that I just don't sit on the couch for 5 days. I can tell you that most of the time anyway.
Yeah. Unless you're really bad off. There's something horrible that has to be afflicting you if that's the case.
So bad that I could tell you, I can't remember the even though the sickness I said hit the household this winter, there wasn't a workout day that I missed due to illness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so maybe that's the other end of it then. So you have this, you know, range of severity of illness, and, you know, Pat's range is basically got to kill him to keep him out of there. My range is a little less.
If I see the Grim Reaper, I might consider a rest day.
Right. I'm not quite that tough. And so I'll definitely call it a little earlier than that. And I have recently when I had the flu, a couple months back, and it did put me down. I did have a high fever for a couple days in a row. And I was like, look, there's no way that I'm getting in and doing anything productive other than just trying to recover. But I will say that I think that once you've made that decision that I am going to do something, then the next decision is, okay, how hard am I going to go? Mm-hmm. And that's something that should be kind of negotiated with yourself at the outset, because it's very easy. Yeah. To kind of use your playbook, where one of the things I've picked up, you know, being able to do this podcast with you is just the utility of mapping out your week and saying, okay, these are going to be the hard days. these are going to be the days that I go into the gym and I don't expect like a total burn it down effort out of myself and so on. I think using that strategy when you are feeling well enough to do something, but you know that you are not 100%, is the way to go. You say, okay, decision one, am I going to work out or not? Yes. Great. Now, the next decision that you have to make with yourself before you even get into that space where you're trying to warm up or think what you're going to do is, can I give myself permission to just go through the motions today?
Yes, for sure.
And if the answer is, yes, I want to work out, but no, I cannot give myself permission to back off a little bit, you might need to reevaluate decision number one.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, you're going to be, A, just disappointed if you go in thinking that you're just going to have a world-beating time when you're feeling less than 100%. But B, I think it's entirely possible to prolong how bad you're feeling by really going hard and throttling out when maybe you shouldn't. You know, the other end of that is like, yeah, I do think that there's some utility, again, just my opinion, my experience, to blowing the pipes out a little bit, meaning you go in, you get a sweat, you start to move some things through the system. I think
movement
there is a
is
lot of
medicine. Adrian.
Yes, there you go. I think there is a lot of utility in that, but you can't go over the threshold. Otherwise, I think it can have the negative effect where now you've got to recover from this brutal effort and whatever it is that your body's trying to fight off.
And I'll pick and choose what I got going on, right? I mean, let's say for easy, you know, you've got the normal whatever. It's wintertime. You got a cough. You're stuffed up. Your throat's a bit scratchy. That caused you not to sleep well for a few days. So you're tired on top of that, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But you've made the intelligent decision to work out anyway, right? To step up to the plate and work out anyway. And, you know, for simple numbers, let's say that somebody's, most of the time, if they do Cindy, they're going to get 20 rounds. Okay, that's a great score, but let's just say that. You know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk out into the gym. And if I was that person that most of the time I do Cindy, I get 20 rounds, I'd walk out in the gym and I would say, I'm going to do 10 rounds of Cindy and the clock's not going to run. The pull-ups, going to shake my arms out a bit. The pull-up, the push-ups are going to be 5 and 5 from set number one. You know, the air squats are slow and I'm just going to move for, you know, however long that takes and walk back in. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Or workouts that I wouldn't do like air bike sprints. You know, that would not be a workout that I would do. It would be something more like that other one. I also don't mind, you know, I'm going to pull some moderate load deadlifts a little bit, you know, something like that. Like, I'm not trying to set a one rep max PR, but touch a little bit of heavy weight, you move yourself. Maybe you do bike casually, you touch a little bit of heavy weight, you bike casually. That's cool. You know, it's not this crazy send it sort of an experience. And I will also say, and I know that I've mentioned this before in the show, that you could make a really solid case, especially if somebody didn't have a degree in sociology like I do, they're actually a medical professional. Like, hey, you know what? You're not doing yourself any favors. You're actually hurting yourself a little bit. That's probably, I mean, there's a fair chance that that's true. I can't tell you for sure on the cellular level, right? But there's a good chance that maybe that's true. But as I've said before, I work out for a lot of reasons and they're not all physical. There's a huge mental component as to my time in the gym and my moving the body and getting my heart rate up and touching a bit of loading. I'm a better human being when I do that. I'm less stressed out when I do it. I have a better view on life. I interact better with my family. I deal with problems better. Like, that's like my pressure release for the entire day. And I need that on sick days too. So again, when I take that into my decision-making tree as to like, is it beneficial for me to walk out in the garage and do a little something? That's in there too. And that to me is just as important as the physical attributes of why I work out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing to add to the calculus for sure. I would also say that, you know, from my experience, at least when I am feeling a little bit under, but I have made the decision that I'm going to work out, I think you hinted at it, but, you know, really kind of modulating the intensity as far as loading, like I'm not going to be wanting to be under a ton of load if I'm not feeling 100%. I'm not going to want to touch those higher intensity kind of sprint efforts, like you said. And so maybe this is stating the obvious, but what I do feel feels really nice when I am kind of in that under the weather area is a longer effort that is more sustained in pace. And you kind of get a sweat going, you kind of get into a rhythm. You know that you're not going to be burning it down because it's, you know, a 30-minute or 40-minute effort anyway. And it's not this really like grinding, taxing longer effort. It's just like a steady, sustained pace. You know, like I remember one workout I did not that long ago. And I was feeling a little bit under. It was 8 rounds, 4 minutes on the C2 bike, just easy. And then 1 minute of burpees, repeated 8 rounds. So it was a 40-minute workout. And I got on the bike and would just pedal. And, you know, I had a number in mind, but it was pretty fluid. And then same deal, get off, start doing burpees at just a sustainable pace, not trying to set a record in that minute, just keep moving, hop back on the bike, take a minute to recover or so, and then gradually pick the pace back up and just repeat and, you know, get that sweat, start getting the respiration rate up, but you're not trying to kill yourself. And yeah. Workouts like that, I find to be pretty therapeutic, at least as far as my anecdotal experience is concerned.
Yeah, and everything's a bit of a compromise, right? We've discussed before, there's probably a lot of different categories, but an oversimplification is there's the ideal world and there's the real world. And the ideal world, good on you. Get as many days in the ideal world as you can where you're like, you know what? Sleep was flawless. Nutrition on point. Like all those, got the free time, perfect warm-up, great. But a lot of times you're not in that ideal world. You're in the real one where something's not quite right. This is irritating. Sleep wasn't as good as I wanted to. This was rushed. Like it's just schedule, life, work, kid, mortgage. Like it is what it is. And if I only allowed myself to work out on those ideal days, I wouldn't log a lot of workouts annually. Mm. It's just the hard truth of the matter. I don't care what it says as the ideal world in an exercise science book. The real world is I do a lot of workouts with some of those conditions aren't great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's okay. The body's quite an adaptable system and everything seems to be going just fine. I think most people are doing the same thing. Leading up to this show, we decided why not, you know, we're going to hear my knucklehead and boss's knucklehead opinion. We might as well reach out to an actual medical professional, a medical doctor. And so
no,
I did.
Stop it.
I got on the phone this morning and I told him like, look, you could just give me your 2 cents. I won't use your name because, you know, you just want somebody on the internet going, well, a doctor told me. So he's like, no, you feel free to use my name. Dr. Mike Ray, went ahead and reached out to him.
My friend and yours. Great, great guy.
Great guy. And one of the unsung heroes medical staff at the Games forever, maybe?
Yeah. Head of CrossFit Games Medical for a long time. And man, I mean, talk about somebody who has just lived and breathed the CrossFit methodology for 15, 16 years now. I mean, he's been in it for as long as anybody. And just a stud athlete and all around great guy. So that's great.
So we had a good little chat and he basically, long story short, echoed exactly what we just said, or, you know, because even before the conversation started, he goes, I really think we're probably going to be in alignment on this. And he's like, off the top of my head, I can't think of like some hardcore great study that was done to quote the data of, you know, just going off of, you know, anecdotal data from life and being a physician on top of everything else and being a CrossFitter. But same deal. He's like, most of the time if I'm sick, he goes, I'm still going to get in a workout. I'm just going to ratchet down the intensity. I'm going to ratchet down the loading. I'm not going to try to set any records. I'm just going to move. You know, that's going to be it for most of the things that people talk about when they say I'm sick. They're not saying I'm sick and I'm contemplating going to the emergency room. They're talking about I'm sick and it's just kind of, I'm uncomfortable and I'm not normal for the time being. He said, what he does play into his mind as well as if it's something that, you know, could be contagious, but then he's not going to want to go into a group setting, the class. So he'll go ahead and refrain from doing that, work out at home, hit the garage, which it's funny. I didn't even think about that. The luxuries of just working out my garage is like, oh, that's right. You have to worry about other people. So he's like, you know, if it's contagious, I'll, you know, be courteous with regards to
which
that.
Which in fairness are, I can't remember the handle of the original
they did
question
mention that.
Asker, but yeah, they right out the gate. So good on you. That's no fun going to the gym and spreading that around for other people. So, so that's good. But
he
anyway.
Said the other thing that he goes back and forth with in his mind, he goes, is a lot of times when people aren't feeling well, a lot of that has to do with some sort of, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, some sort of upper respiratory infection happening. He's like, and then you're playing this game of, you know, one of the best things for that is sleep. He's like, mm-hmm. So if your sleep has been really compromised for a while, he goes, then I might actually make the decision of, you know what I need today more than a workout? I just need some rest. I need to take a nap. Mm-hmm. I need to get in bed early. He goes, but if it's not at that level, then, you know, he will make those workout choices, like he said previously. So, and he said, he texted me and just so you know, there's my official thing and I'm reading right here. These comments do not constitute medical advice. It is just his personal opinion. So,
you internet pedants out there.
he's such a great, sharp guy and such a professional that after we hung up the phone, he texted me. And he's like, he did a quick search, like online for studies. Like, you know,
of course
Of course he did. He texted me, just a quick search suggests that the formal advice out there actually pretty much aligns with what we said on the phone. So
cool.
Yep. So there.
Well, there you have it.
What more could you want?
Yeah. And I guess the last thing that I would add is, give yourself the permission to cut the session early too. You know, I think that's one of the things that kind of goes along with this idea of, all right, you come in with adjusted expectation, but the possibility exists that you're going to step into the gym and you're starting to feel good. Great. Keep going. You know, go ahead with the plan. But alternatively, it's very possible that you're going to step into the gym, you're going to get 10 air squats deep, and you're like, you know what? This is a terrible idea. Today is not the day to push through and, tap into that discipline that, of course, you've developed over the years by doing all this stuff. It's okay during some of those sessions to get partway through the warm-up and be like, you know what? This is actually making me feel worse in the moment. Listen to yourself in that scenario and step away. But often, more often than not, I would say, in my experience, the opposite is true. You start getting moving a little bit. You start, kind of getting the blood pumping. And before you know it, you're like, oh, this actually feels pretty good as long as I'm not trying to hold my hand right in the fire. So in that case, yeah, fire away.
And I would say, again, it's not a formal study, but you and I probably know a lot of people that work out for a lot of years now. And I feel like most of us do the same thing. And it seems to be going really well for everybody mm-hmm. that I know. So I know that's not a formal study, but take it for what it's worth. It's a lot of anecdotal data. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hopefully that helps. Hopefully everyone stays happy and healthy. But like I said, man, we got rocked this year. Hopefully everyone else's household had a better faring than we did. We appreciate everybody supporting the show, listening to it in audio format, checking out the videos. If you want, go to the BTWB YouTube channel, find the show, post your thoughts on this subject under there, agree, disagree, have a different recommendation, some amazing, essential oil you use to magically not be sick anymore or whatnot, post in there. Post in there. I'd love to hear about it. And and if you've got an idea for a future show, let us know as well, or send it like as a direct message. Go to Instagram for the Very Not Random Instagram account and send it there as well. We get information all those ways. So for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood. Thanks to Dr. Mike Ray, and we'll see you next time.